You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Arabosco Users Group Radio Show on 3CR Radical Radio. We're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. And thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris and the Arabosco Users Group Radio. We're a show about cycling, urban mobility, mobility elsewhere, active transport, advocacy, adventures, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And on today's show, I got a catch-up interview with Laura Ashton, and we're going to be talking about making your street or your area more amenable or opening up things you haven't considered. And as today is looking at the date, the 15th of December, the year's drawing to a close, and I kind of, when I was coming in here today, it was just a little bit difficult kind of trying to, you know, things that have happened in the last 24 hours. And I just had this thought or reminder of something that happened to me 30 years ago. And I don't really want to go into all the details of it because for a lot of people it was a pretty awful time too. And we're talking about events of April 1996. And again, a little bit of a pause if you don't want to hear what I have to say. But a friend at the time noticed I wasn't travelling too well in the aftermath of said event, which is, again, Port Arthur, the shootings in Tasmania. And I wasn't really a very happy person at the time. And they noticed that I needed a bit of a lift. And what they did, because we both of us were neighbours to each other, he went around and got me a I don't know if it was legal at the time or not, but he pulled a bike frame out of the then Northcote Tip and left it for me. And I spent months mucking around with this thing. I always had an interest in bikes going back to when I was a little kid. Mum's got all the photos of that. But, you know, in your teenage and your 20s and all that, you kind of go off and have other interests. But, you know, in my late 20s, I got back into bikes. And today, without trying to go into things that have happened elsewhere, of keep an eye on your friends. Do things. Do that diversional therapy thing, as it's called, or just be there for people. And I think I think at the end of the show, I think we've got a really good bell hooks quote that I might quote at the end of it. And also, I've got to be remiss here. Something that's been on our minds for a long, long time. It goes back even to the 80s and 90s, not just 20 years ago, is that Gipp Street ramp has finally opened. And fabulous. She's beautiful. She is really beautiful. And I, you know, there's been kind of things saying, oh, why didn't it do this? And why isn't it this type of structure? And how come it doesn't go around to Flockhart? And, oh, man. Flockhart Reserve. The engineering feat that they've done down there is amazing in itself. And invariably with that side of the Yarra in Abbotsford, there is a lot of tip, there is a lot of fill, there's a lot of garbage that got tipped over that in previous decades, going back to the 19th century, because that's what we did when we got here, was mess things up. And it's really, really hard trying to find the original riverbank and all the kind of geotech sort of stuff that's needed. And, yeah, it's amazing what we have to do after, and hey, I'm just talking about infrastructure, of things we have to do in the aftermath of, you know, historical problems or issues that were created previously. And yesterday was another one of those big opening things with Westgate Tunnel opening. Apparently over in the Inner West, there are no or very little trucks on some of their streets after a very long time. I'm not saying that is, you know, this is a fabulous thing to do and all the rest of it, but we have to have a think about how we use our streets. And after the break, Laura's going to be talking about some things you can do. And also, it's kind of riffing off again from Gipps Street. There's so much happening in terms of infrastructure opening. There's some bridges out in the east. There's, I think, the Villa Way opened. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. And there's also, I think I'll put it into the podcast description, there's a survey or some feedback for that if you are got feedback on it, or as many people have ridden over it and do like it, but there is an issue if you don't particularly like the rattly style of riding with the expansion joints. So probably put your feedback in for that. Or also the another part of the Federation Trail out in the west could be open if it's not already open. I'll see if I've got enough time at the end of the show to list off a few more bits and pieces. If I don't, I will put them into the podcast description. But after the break, I'm going to be talking to Laura and we'll have some Charlie Parker accompanying our chat from yesterday.
Public transport's great.
What's not great is that unless you've got a radio with you, you can't listen to 3CR when you're on it.
Until now. The Community Radio Plus app lets you listen to us wherever you are.
Get on board and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Today on Yarra Bicycle User Group Radio on 3CR, I'm having a catch-up interview with Laura Ashton and a project. Also, just a chat about what you're up to.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here. I do have a project going, and I guess I have a bit of a mission, which is not dissimilar to that what we spoke about many months ago, and the mission is to bring streets to life, to bring as many streets to life as possible in 2026. But the current project is a bit different to what we spoke about last time, and I'm happy to share a bit about that.
That'd be great, because also, just as a little bit of a catch-up, you've got a podcast happening now too.
I do. It's called the Regenerative Streets Podcast, and I speak with all sorts of people whose work intersects with public space and creating streets that are more inviting, that connect people and place together. And so they share the ways in which they're bringing streets to life.
Because it's a thing with, we have so much kind of discussion and things going on around planning and living and simple things like the ability to live somewhere, just basically. But these shouldn't come at a loss of the ability for your street or your area to be simply enjoyable.
And that's right.
Yeah. So can you have a chat about bringing your street to life?
I think, like you said, we can all probably relate to a sense of haste and rush, and the way we experience streets is getting from one place to another. Our heads are full of to-dos. The street is sort of a corridor between home, work, school. Maybe it doesn't feel welcoming, safe, or a place that we can just be and interact with people, especially, you know, if you bring children into the equation, or if you're not fully able to walk on uneven footpaths, which is often the case, then that it becomes especially difficult to navigate the street. For years, I sort of did the official side of streets, planning, crunching data, designing from an engineering point of view. But I realized that, like you said, we just want people to be able to live on streets. And that means that I want everyone to experience the streets as a place of rest and play and connection. And I've been thinking about how to bring that to everyday people, including myself. So all of this data crunching and planning and designing actually didn't get me out in the street anymore. And I was really craving that as well. I guess I'm after a shift for myself. And I think that what I've found is that it resonates with everyone. We all want to feel safe, feel welcome, feel comfortable in public space. And that's what streets are. And we want to connect with the people around us. We want to feel a sense of community, recognize faces, notice the birds, the trees, feel relaxed walking out the front door. And so, I don't know, does that resonate with you, Chris?
It does. Because there's a point which I'm a little bit repetitious on this show about, of living, like we live in a human constructed environment, and humans love to live in human constructed environments, despite all our, foibles for saying we like nature and all the rest of it. Everything around us is constructed. And the issue I find with a lot of this is that it's at the detriment of how we actually, the quality of life, because where I'm going to with this is it's all about vehicle throughput for motorized vehicles. And that is the push-pull thing for cities, is we have these massive bits of infrastructure called roads, and I understand that, but that's the thinking that dominates is everything must be for throughput, where we got to dial it down a bit more for where we actually live. Can't be, as you were just saying about uneven surfaces and young children, let's just bring this down to a more of a human scale thing. And this is on the weekend, like we're just talking today, in the last few hours, Westgate Tunnel opened. There's my case in point. Okay, that's a huge infrastructure project, but we're bringing this down to another level. So
that's it. And it, I have worked at that level of trying to design the solutions, but what was missing was a way that every person, given the constraints that we currently face in streets that are, frankly, a bit scary, full of traffic, noises, pollution, that's a lot to grapple with. And yet, the more we get out and use the street in ways we feel comfortable, the more likely we are to do that more and start to see people around. And over time, it sort of changes the way we think about our street. And we're kind of in a bit of a catch-22 at the moment, where the streets aren't a great place to be, so nobody is there. Or people don't feel as welcome as they ought to. And it's a kind of a vicious cycle of deterring people from getting out in the street. And I guess I'm offering a way to disrupt that with these street joy kits, which are a series of tiny experiments seasonally. And so, you'd get one each season with a simple activity that invites you to slow down, connect with the people around you if you like, or do something of your own volition that helps you slow down, notice the street around you, and just enjoy being out there.
Come on down to Geelong in January 2026. For the Having a Say conference. It's the most fun you'll ever have all year.
It's a call to arms and the ability to mix it up with ministers in our sector and our voices to be heard.
But we also have come and try activities, a talent show, a dinner disco, and it's a lot of fun. So get online www.valid.org.au and register your interest.
A 3CR supporter.
All
a broader focus too. You will be aware of what Victoria has brought in, the 30 kilometre per hour speeds policy shift as well. And we saw in the last little while, Derriban has kind of started on that with some of their high street renewal stuff. We've got some locals here in Richmond who want to see a 30K thing rolled out for their suburb. And this, what you're saying, kind of works in with that. You can probably speak to that a lot better than I can.
As with the 30 kilometre per hour speed limits, it's something we can do with what we can work with what we've got. You know, we do currently have a lot of our public space dedicated to traffic, but we can still work with that. We don't have to wait for policy. Like, well, in the case of 30 kilometre speed limits, that is a policy change, but the infrastructure doesn't necessarily need to change. So it's not a big construction project to do that shift.
Yep.
And similarly, these experiments, these street joy kits, are something that we can do without the street changing. But over time, as people start to actually consider the street as a place that they might spend time, it's likely that policy will follow that. But we just have this situation at the moment where we are all familiar with driving and rushing in streets, and we sort of are catered, that is what's being catered to. And so it's a bit of a chicken and egg scenario, but that's why I wanted to create these kits that offer anyone who's looking to slow down, to perhaps experience living more locally and in enjoying what is on offer without having to travel far. These just offer little prompts to help you do that and sort of get off the screen, get into the street, start making connections, invite people around you to join you in a non-confronting way. It's a really like gentle invitations to enjoy the street and build from there.
So let's have a chat about what this actually entails with, because it is a starter pack, and we've got to be thinking from the get-go, this does involve some outlay, some financial cost.
The kits are available to order in the post. The starter kit is itself a bit of a test run. I haven't officially revealed what the activity is, but I'm very close to doing that. So I'm sort of happy to say that season one involves street portraits. So I've provided supplies for people to create a work of art that captures the character of their street, and also in some instructions, some prompts, some suggestions and inspiration to invite your neighbours, your friends to do the same. And then by displaying your little street portrait, it can sort of entice others to get curious about what you're doing and perhaps do the same. And over time, you might find that you work up a little exhibition or a gallery of the changing face of your street. And it's something anyone can do. There's no perfection, there's no real skill needed, but what all you need to do is be present, slow down, find a scene in your street that you want to paint and go from there.
Because there's so much that you would, you know, most people would have a think about this on a different level of just slowing down and going, I didn't see that before. And this probably throws back to, you know, 5-4 years ago when people in lockdown and they started seeing things in their streets and they started getting more artistic. And I saw some, you know, things like Strava art, which is just a small example thereof. We overlook things.
And we do often. Yeah. That's right.
I'm someone who's like very seasonally based. I'm always kind of walking around looking at things from this is happening now and I've just noticed something like my apricots are 2 weeks late compared to last year, these sort of things. I don't know if most people operate at that level because we're just so pushed for time. And these little exercises and these creative things that you're bringing into this bring a completely different focus of how where you live.
That's the idea. And they are for people who do enjoy getting crafty. Not all the activities are craft-based, but a lot of them are. But maybe you don't have the time to actually think about where to get started. You just don't know where to start. You actually don't want to be researching for such an activity online. So that's why I provide all the instructions. You get everything you need to do it yourself. it's analog. And I think that's quite popular. There's a bit of a comeback of analog activities at the moment, which, you know, getting out and enjoying the street is an example of that. Everything's there that people need to go and enjoy, a bit of a slower pace, feel a sense of accomplishment, and invite others in, because it's more fun when you're doing it with people, and streets are the place that we can strengthen our community bonds. All it needs is to get out there.
Hopefully we can protect everything that's worth protecting on country and keep all warmongers out.
Well, I won't back down.
Coogatha Elder Aunty Sue Hasseldine is fighting to protect her country from Southern Launch's rocket testing range. Southern Launch's collaborations with international weapons companies such as Thales, as well as the Australian Defence Force, are threatening sacred sites, endangered animals, and unique ecosystems. Join West Mallee Protection, letter writing calling on key decision makers to get Southern Launch off Coogatha country. For more information, visit West Mallee Protection on Instagram. West Mallee Protection is a 3CR supporter.
And I won't back down.
We're talking from the perspective also from the inner suburbs, but people can use this, you know, regardless of where they are, because, you know, so have you seen the scaling for that for, you know, people who live in a more suburban street with, you know, your quarter acre blocks or on a new development, or they're in an apartment? Can all these, can it all kind of, you know, move around the different ways of people living? Yeah.
Look, it's a really good question, and I can't probably fathom the different, the diversity of setups and street scales that people live in. And that's why I'm running the first month as a test. And look, every month, every season thereafter, I'd be looking for feedback, and also hope that people would share their experience with the activities so that we can get some more exposure of the different ways that the different ways that streets function. They're not homogenous. I've tried to think about, yeah, the different types of accommodation, from apartments, townhouses in quite dense areas to more spread out ones. I've tried to create something that lends itself to a spectrum within that, but I guess I am a product of the different environments that I've lived in, and perhaps I don't, you know, I don't, I'd love to see what other street scenes there are and if it works at different levels too. So yeah, I'd always encourage people to tag me on Instagram, and I know you follow what the pictures and the videos that I put there. My Instagram handle is streetmakerlaura, or the hashtag streetjoy, because ultimately that's what this is about. Streets can help us all live a more enjoyable, healthier, safe life. And I think that slogan captures that.
Yeah, because without kind of trying to do the gestures at everything approach of we live at a very odd time in history, I think what you're doing is bringing down that, like, refocusing on what's important. You know, I'm just reading things like people are getting into birding, and people are thinking of things like, oh, you know, analog photography, which, you know, what I started off with, and then close to 40 years ago, and handwriting and all these little crafty things that an older generation would go, but that's second nature. No, actually, we've got to be careful that we don't lose something along our headlong rush towards complete digitalization of whatever, or commodification of everything that you do. Your attention span is a commodity, and therefore, you know, getting back to the remit of the show, which is bicycles and, you know, all that sort of stuff. We're getting back into your time to function as a human should be partially your own, and you should have agency for it, and also have agency for your street and the way that you travel. If I can kind of pull this back into focus of, you know, what our show is about.
Well, I think, Chris, I, like I mentioned earlier, actively advocate for safer streets for all modes. And I've been on the show before talking about the fact that my kids, my family and I, we get around on bikes. We do have it. We're lucky to have a cargo bike. But after many, many years advocating for this kind of change, what I found was that most people, this, our advocacy didn't resonate with a lot of people because most people don't have the opportunity or the confidence to get around on a bike. And so therefore it's hard to build a strong case, unfortunately, even though the benefits of it are, you know, I guess I live those benefits, and I believe that everyone deserves to be able to experience the independence and the health and the joy that comes from cycling and walking and getting around that sort of way. And how do we then give people a flavour for that when we're faced with streets that are difficult to navigate? And that's why these kits were kind of the culmination of a lot of introspection and a lot of experimenting to find something that offers everyone a chance to taste streets used another way. Streets as public space, streets as community, streets that are safe. There's no barrier to entry. You don't have to be confident on a bicycle and have that high tolerance for personal safety. But over time, it changes the norms about the way that we use streets. It increases everyone's propensity to actually step out the front door rather than getting in their car and driving down the street. At least that's the idea, because we all want to feel safe and connected. Mm. And that's, I guess, the starting point for these kits towards a bigger picture where we might all get out and use the streets more over time.
This is a constant kind of bit of communication. Like I've been in the last week or so, I have had all these things have started to percolate over of different bits of infrastructure opening and all these sort of things. And people go, oh, to be an advocate, you've got to be some special type of person. And I'm saying, no, you don't. Or to ride or get out without a car, you need to be, you know, you need to have some rugged individualist angle. No, you don't. You can come into this at any level you want. And it's a constant thing, like having these discussions, and the work that you're doing is just trying to demystify and make it as open the approach as possible to how we want to live in our cities and its streets and towns and all the rest of it.
That's right. I mean, I hope that the active sort of sharing street portraits with the hashtag on Instagram makes this kind of stuff visible to a lot more people. It's about normalizing and helping others identify as the kind of people that feel safe using streets. And I believe that we can grow that movement in this way, as with many other ways and all the hard work that you're doing and lots of other advocates are doing. And I do consider this, on the one hand, it's an individual's choice and decision and something they can enjoy, but it also brings visibility to this idea of streets as places for people on a yep. big scale as well.
So with Bring Your Street to Life, how can people get in touch, get the product, get these tactile kits going, and also the seasonal approach?
If you're an advocate or if the transformation resonates with you, you're definitely invited to give it a try. I'd love that. This is a low-risk sort of test run. There's no commitment. It's just a one-off pack. Head to bringyourstreettolife.com and you'll find all the information there. On that page, you can click through to the Street Joy Starter Kit, the kit that we've spoken about today, all the supplies you need to create a street portrait along with other analog goodies and prompts to invite others in. That's as simple as it is. Bringyourstreettolife.com. All the information is there. And otherwise, I'm on Instagram at StreetmakerLaura, and I regularly post all things streets for people as well as these kits.
And thank you to Laura for making time to talk about her projects and her podcasts and a catch-up interview. I've run out of time, and I was going to mention a whole bunch of other things in the outro. Baxter Trail Extension Works is open, and I'll put that into the podcast description. And the incredibly important thing, which I omitted in the opening, which is we've finally got some clarification from the Victorian State Government on e-bikes on public transport. And basically they're following a similar thing with New South Wales of banning aftermarket conversions. And there's a whole bunch of stuff on Transport Victoria about these new changes that are coming in on the 21st of December this year. Again, look that up, and I'll put that into the podcast description if you want to read more about that. Thank you for listening today. Announcers and presenters are all volunteers, so ensure that when you've got time and you've got the ability to subscribe, donate, and or look out for fundraisers for 3CR to keep us on air. Up next is Down By Law, followed by Black Block, and we'll see what we're doing over the Christmas New Year break. You'll no doubt, we'll let you know what we're up to. Enjoy your day.
Come on, take a ride with me. Now we're going around the park, hearing all the doggies bark and the kids.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.